Okay, so I just finished watching Shin Godzilla, and honest to God, that it was terrifying. It was terrifying to watch. Not terrifying in the sense that, oh, I was clutching my pearls, scared and everything. No, it was terrifying, especially the first time when they showed Godzilla in the movie, you know, that time where it was still kind of like in its early form before it started evolving. And it opened its mouth. God, that sight was horrendous, horrendous. Okay, so knowing that detail, let's talk about friend zones and why I think most likely anybody who thinks they're in the friend zone is delusional, the Lulu Kingdom. Okay. Disclaimer: what you're about to listen to is the work and production of Daniel Briggs Adisa, the host of the Volatile Times with Daniel podcast. Most of what you're about to hear is opinion-based, unless stated otherwise. I am not an authority in most of the fields that I will be addressing. These are mostly opinions, so take them with a grain of salt. But I do beg you to listen. They are fun. You will learn a thing. And without further ado, let's get into the episode. Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, good whatever time of the day you are listening to this, and welcome to another episode of Volatile Times with Daniel podcast. Now, today's episode is going to be about the friend zone. Okay, you already saw the title, you saw the episode cover, you listened to the intro, you know what this episode is going to be about. Okay, but first, if this is your first time listening to Volatile Times with Daniel, my name is Daniel, obviously, but welcome. Thank you for joining this circle of friends who just like to listen to me talk. Y'all are awesome, you are awesome, and thank you for listening to me. So let's get into today's episode. Friend zone. Oh my God, where do I start from? The thing is, the friend zone is the bane of every straight, young, or single guy on earth. Literally, the amount of fear, I mean, literal fear and insecurity that many men have around being friend zoned by some woman is unbelievable to me, to be very honest. Unbelievable to me. And it also keys into this ideology that every woman out there, or potentially every woman out there, seeks to use or manipulate or just outrightly ruin some young, bright, hopeful guy that just wants to fall in love and love upon his woman and everything. And I kind of disagree with all of that, okay? I disagree vehemently with all of that. In fact, if anything, I think the friend zone doesn't really exist. And even if it does, I think it is something that men do to themselves. And it is ultimately one of the manifestations of male victim mentality. Let me explain. Okay, let's begin with the origin of the term friend zone. Many people do not actually know this, but friend zone actually came from the series called Friends. You know, that series that launched in 1994 that starred a bunch of people who were horrible people, by the way, all friends, all narcissistic, if you ask me. But anyway, we still enjoyed it, even though it was vapid as hell. But the term was first used specifically by the character Joey Tribbiani in the seventh episode, I believe. Let me look that up. Yes, seventh episode of the first season of the show Friends. It occurs during the conversation between Joey and Ross. I hate Ross. Let me just say that now. I hate Ross. It's unneeded for this entire episode, but I hate Ross. Okay. Just know that and know peace. I hate Ross. But anyway, the term friend zone was used by Joey during his conversation with Ross, when Joey was giving quote unquote relationship advice to Ross. See, here's the thing. Ross has been pining after this one girl called Rachel since his high school days. Rachel is a friend of his elder sister's. When he was in junior high, I think she was in senior high. So, you know, age gap, different things like that. Ross was and still is a nerd. And when he was in high school, he was just tall and a blubbering buffoon. But now that he's an adult, he's tall, he's finer, richer, and still a blubbering buffoon. But we are not going there. So, anyway, relationship advice. Ross recently got divorced. Then he met Rachel again, who also, equally stupid, ran away from the altar. She left the man she was supposed to marry and ran away from the altar. Something about, this is not the life I want, this way. You know the drill, okay? You know it. Anyway, he sees her and he thinks, immediately starts thinking, oh, now that she's no longer getting married, maybe I now have a chance. And so every single act of friendship, every single act of comfort he tries to offer Rachel during this tumultuous time of her life is not really because of friendship. It's mostly because he wants to get into her path and hopefully he can have her for the entirety of his life. So, what does he do? He acts like a friend. He has conversations with her. They go places together. He's sweet. He's comforting. He's good to her. He cares for her as a friend does, but secretly pining, whining, and hoping that she will simply just fall in love with him because he has been nice enough to her. And Joey comes along and says, yeah, cut that crap. It's either you make a move or you will become, quote unquote, friend zoned. Why? Because he waited too long. So he better act fast or the window for romance would be closed forever. Now, looking at the way the word friend zone was used in that conversation during the entire scene, the way Joey used the word, it wasn't something that Rachel would do to Ross. It wasn't something that she would intentionally do. It wasn't something that she was planning on doing, but actually something that would happen eventually, largely due to Ross's lack of initiative. So even during the origin of the word, friend zone wasn't something that the woman did to a man, as it's mostly believed nowadays, but rather something that the man himself would do to himself simply because he lacks initiative and just lacks the goddamn balls to move up to a woman and tell that woman how much he likes her, but also do it in kind of like a meaningful, endearing way. Yeah, that was the origin of friend zone. Now, how is it used nowadays? Like I mentioned before, nowadays it is mostly seen as this bad place that women place men, right? That, oh, you see a guy, he is nice, he is wonderful, he loves her, and different things like that, right? And then the girl friend zones him, and you know, people start asking her, why did you friend zone such a nice guy? Why did you friend zone a guy that, you know, clearly likes you so much? I've always found the question to be a weird one, if we're being honest, because it implies that, it implies that the appropriate response the girl or any woman is supposed to have to a guy who has affections for her is that she should reciprocate that affection. But it doesn't even take into account in the first place if she actually feels the same way. It doesn't, which is a problem. It is a very big problem. Now, Ross is somebody who we would on some level classify as a nice guy. And I think somewhere along the series himself, somewhere along the TV show, he himself iterated that he's a nice guy. He does this, he does that, he is helpful, he is loving, he is caring, he is available, etc., etc., etc. Why won't you love me despite all these things that I'm doing? And see, that is one of the problems with this whole nice guy ideology, all right? Many people, you know, when women say, or when people say nobody likes the nice guy, the reason why nobody likes the nice guy is because we are not actually nice. You are manipulative and you are exploitative. The reason why I say exploitative is because you are trying to, not you essentially listening, but the nice guy is trying to exploit the attention and the care that he offers for whatever other affection that he thinks he deserves because of it. So in other words, in the first place, the reason why you are doing it, the reason why such a nice guy is doing it, or the reason why the person who is going to be friend zoned is doing whatever it is that they are doing, is not because of friendship in the first place, but it is because of some kind of lustful or romantic desire for the other person. So technically speaking, how can you be friend zoned if you were never a friend in the first place? But then you ask the question, hey Dan, but if I wasn't a friend, would I have been doing all of this? If I wasn't a friend, would I have been available in such a way? If I wasn't a friend, would I have given a shit? Did you actually think of her as a friend, or did you think of her as a potential sexual partner or a romantic partner? Where the reason why we're being affectionate, where the reason why we're being available, attentive, a good listener, etc., providing all of that, because you genuinely valued her as a person and saw her as a person that, you know, you could be friends with regardless of whatever attraction might lay underneath? Or were you doing all of that simply because you wanted to leverage all those things as some sort of ticket to earn her love? Probably because on some level, the guy believes that you can only earn a woman's affection through materialism. And you see, this is the problem I have with the nice guy and the friend zoning ideologies, you know, all those things like that. Is this idea that affection most of the time can only be bought or can easily be accessed by offering up material things, right? By offering up fake affection, because it is fake. Because the moment she reveals that, oh, she does not see you that way, or she doesn't experience affection for you the same way you are experiencing affection for her, you automatically withdraw all of that attention, all of that care, all of that love, because you are not getting what you're getting. When she says, oh, I don't see you that way, I'm not attracted to you sexually, I don't see us having a romantic relationship, but I really value you as a person and I'd like us to continue being friends, many guys will feel insulted by that. They'll count it as, oh, she just wants to continue to use me, she wants to continue to different things like that, and then they automatically start thinking like victims, like something bad has happened to them. When in fact, the person who was most likely going to become a victim in this scenario was the woman instead. Because the woman was the one who was blindingly and innocently receiving affection from this person who had ulterior motives for her and her body and her whole being. This person, this guy who was approaching her with the idea of friendship in the first place, had malicious intent. Now, maybe I shouldn't use the word malicious intent. Let's say had ulterior motives. Ulterior motives are not always negative in nature, right? But friendship was not their aim. But they acted like a genuine friend. Most likely, even filling a gap of friendship that she requires or that she desires in her life at that point in time. So, she is being manipulated, she is being exploited for whatever affection it is that she seeks, right? And she thinks she's genuinely getting from this guy, when he is just there acting like a mastermind, planning his next move on how to quote unquote win her heart, when it actually is steal her heart. I actually do not like that term, stealing somebody's heart, because it doesn't read like as if the other person had agency in offering up their love and their affection, more like as if somebody was manipulated into loving you. And I think that's what a lot of guys are trying to do, which is why the whole term of friend zoning and being a nice guy is so insidious sometimes. Many people would act like as if, you know, this girl friend zoned you on purpose because she just wants to use you, she just wants you for your money, or she just wants to continue getting affection and attention from you. But here's the thing I ask. If you approach me as a friend, you are nice, you are cordial, you talk to me, you listen to my worries, you also share your worries with me, we go out once in a while, we have long conversations and all those kind of stuff, and you keep affirming the fact that you are my friend. You keep talking about how much of a good friend I am to you. And in return, I'm like, oh yeah, I feel the same way. Why would you then become angry when you now reveal that all along you had romantic affiliations towards me and I do not? I repeat, do not have the same thing, because I was not looking for a romantic partner. I was not looking to have a romantic partner. In fact, I was not looking at you as a potential romantic partner, because in the first place, the guy did not bring himself as a romantic partner. He brought himself as a friend. They didn't start by flirting out. They didn't start by him talking about how beautiful and attractive he found her. They didn't start by him talking about how he would like to, you know, start talking to her and see where the relationship goes, whether there's a chance for something more, whether it's just sex or a romantic relationship or whether it can lead to marriage. He didn't start with none of that. He started with, I want to be your friend. I don't know about you, but I don't start thinking, this is somebody I'm going to go to bed with. This is somebody I am going to fall in love with. This is somebody I am going to see myself living the entirety of my life with. Or even if it is temporary, this is somebody who is going to hold such a deep place in my heart that without them in me, in my heart is just broken. This is somebody that is going to be all up in my gut, tingling my insides. No, I do not think any of that. I simply think, this might be somebody who I can be really good friends with, maybe even close friends, and be actually truthful, unfiltered, and very raw and open with. That is what I'm thinking. And I think that is what a lot of other women are also thinking. So when you are coming, or when other guy is coming towards the lady and then they are acting like, oh, oh my God, I would love to be your friend. You seem like such a fun person. I don't think any girl, any woman can be faulted for believing and acting based on those offers. And this is why I always tell my students, this is why I always tell my friends, don't act like something you are not. Okay? Do not act like something you are not. If you want to be a boyfriend. Okay? Like, not start being a boyfriend. You cannot be somebody's boyfriend without their consent. You cannot be somebody's boyfriend without their approval. If not, you are just in Delulu land. Okay? That's it. You are delusional. But if you want to be a boyfriend, do not come looking like a friend or a brother. I even hear sometimes like brother zoned. My dear, none of those exist. None of those things are actual concepts. All of those things, none of those are actual words, okay? Those are delusional words. Those are delusional things that happen to delusional people. You cannot be friend zoned if you were an actual friend. Now, it's very possible to move from friendship into sexual or romantic relationships. I've been there, done that. You know, it's very possible. I know many people who have been like that. I have a friend recently who just got married, and guess what? They started from being friends, and then from there, it turned into a romantic relationship. They dated for a little while so that, oh, I can live life with this person forever. And they did just that. Got hitched and married together. Good for them. You can move from being a friend to a lover. In fact, if anything, I think it is one of the most advantageous spaces for you to be able to transition into such a relationship. But because in the first place, most of these men are out here not trying to be friends with these women in the first place, it becomes ridiculously difficult and much more harder and much more complicated for them to make that transition, for them to do that confession and everything. I think Dr. K talked about this. Dr. K of Healthy Gamer on YouTube talked about this, but I can't remember exactly what he said, so I'll just reference that here. Maybe if I can find the link, I'll put in the show notes or description of this episode. But honestly, if you are an actual friend to this person, and let's say before you became a friend, you developed romantic or sexual feelings for this person, or during the friendship, you developed romantic or sexual feelings for this person, and then you let it be known to the other person, and they said, I appreciate your honesty, I appreciate your affection, but I do not feel the same way. And then you start going, oh my God, I was friend zoned. Oh my God, this horrible thing just happened to me. She brother zoned me. He friend zoned me. I don't think that is an accurate description of what happened. Because there's something that I think a lot of guys have, this sense of entitlement a lot of guys have towards receiving affection from the other gender, from the ladies, and it goes unchecked most of the time. You are not entitled to anybody's affection except your mother's, except your parents, honestly. Even your siblings don't need to like you. They don't have to like you. They will try their best to like you, but they don't have to like you. Nobody on this earth has to like you. The only people who owe you that likability or that affection are people who have chosen to give it to you. So after they've chosen to give it to you, after they've made so much affirmations about being your friend and always being there for you, I think then you can now place a demand on their affection and their attention. But you can't just expect somebody that doesn't know you from Adam and Eve to just like you. Neither does it mean that because you feel a particular way about a person, that they must feel that same way back at you. And this stands for you also. Just because somebody says they are in love with you, or that they feel really, really strong feelings for you, or that they are, you know, like really, really enticed by your look or whatever, does not mean you should reciprocate. Does not mean you have to. If you feel the same way, you can. If you want to entertain it and see where it goes, you can. That is all within your place to decide. But you can't force somebody else to have the same level of affection for you as you do for them. Neither can they force you to do the same thing. Right? Now, this is different. This is not for, oh, you're already in a relationship with that person. No, I'm talking about somebody who you're just going to confess to. You confess to them doesn't mean they have to love you back. Once you remove yourself from that entitlement, once you remove yourself from that need to have the person that you like you back all the time, right? I think rejection will even be taken a little bit easier, because I've confessed to a bunch of people over the past 2 years, and they are still friends of mine, and all of them said no. Okay, no. It hurts. It hurts. Are you listening? I know you're listening. It hurts. But it didn't hurt as much as it would have if the only expectation I had of them was that they reciprocated exactly what I felt. They still give me love, they still give me attention, but only as a friend, and I appreciate that because I was their friend first before I wanted to have anything more. And so regardless of the fact that I couldn't have that more, regardless of the fact that, sometimes I needed time away from some of them to, you know, recollect myself, I still appreciate the place of the friendship that is in both of our lives. I appreciate the fact that they are still my friends, and I appreciate the fact that I'm still their friend, because regardless of anything, we started out as friends, and I love the fact that we are able to continue as friends. So, I think with these few words of mine, I have rather tried my best to convince you that the friend zone doesn't exist, and if you think it exists, you are the one who is victimizing yourself and harming yourself. We need to start teaching young men to be able to chase healthier relationships, both with themselves and with women and other guys too. Because I see a lot of entitlement in these terms, friend zone, brother zone, nice guy, all these kind of things. And it's always placing the burden on the other person and never really putting us, the whole owner and professor and confessor of the affection, it never puts us in the place of responsibility. It never puts us in the place of having agency and free will, that we get to decide who we share these things with, and we get to decide who we do not. That we get to decide how we handle ourselves in these situations, right? Whether we outrightly ignore the person, whatever it is that we do, however it is that we react, it is still us, not them. If you get rejected, what was rejected was not necessarily you. It was the affection. It was the proposal that you are bringing forth. Rejection is not the end of the world. Okay? And we don't have to victimize and blame women whenever it is that they do not reciprocate the affection that we have for them simply because we went ahead and did so many things that nobody asked us to do. And that's the thing with this friend zone thing also at the same time. Many times these guys will complain about how, you know, they've done so much, they bought her things, they came all the way from afar whenever she said she's lonely or she needed to be around somebody, we came so far. And the reason why she was entertaining all of that is because she thought you were her friend that she could trust. And all you did by showing the whole friend zone palaver is that in the first place, we're not somebody who she should actually have been entertaining attention from. So, again, with these few words of mine, I believe I have tried my best to convince you about the horrendous nature of friend zone and why most likely you've never been a victim to it, and hopefully from now on would not be a self-victim of the friend zone. Thank you so very much for listening. This has been Daniel Briggs Adisa. But before you go, I'd like to tell you a little bit about my mini blog. It's called The Cabinet of Introspection. It is where I write a lot about interpersonal relationships with culture, parents, and friendships. One of my best articles, one of my most lovely articles that I love so much is Friends Are Not Enough. It is currently up, but I have another one right now, specifically for men, and it is called Men and the Ignored Choice. It's about how men, despite being the preferred gender of society, we seem to have limited choices by design. And I think it's not that the world itself offers us limited choices, but we ourselves offer ourselves limited choices. And we can either hate on the women who have realized that they have agency, either through the ways of feminism or whatever, that they have agencies to take control over their life and define themselves. We can hate on that, or we can learn from it and realize that we as men have the most choice in society. And we can either use it to continue to drive such negative effects on ourselves and the other genders and children, or we can build a much more positive world for ourselves. If that interests you, you can go over to my blog, Cabinet of Introspection. It's on Substack and you can read it. The link will be in the description below. Thank you so very much for listening so far. Love you. Mwah.